It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. Appreciate your time. It's presented by CarParts.com. Speaking of time, these guys can save you a ton of it. It's honestly one of the easiest ways to shop for, you know, any sort of maintenance, repair, collision, basically anything you need for your rides. They got it strapped right to your door. CarParts.com, duh. That'll be their slogan. So what's up, Bird? How are you, man?
I'm great, man. And, you know, I'm just watching the weather change. Everything's getting warmer. Spring, yeah. Summer's coming. And you know what that means.
Bro, let me tell you, I couldn't be more in the same direction you're going, because just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, there was just a little rumor. So most people know I had a house fire, and I'm displaced right now. I'm staying with the in-laws. Well, I'm way outside of my normal realm of the Denver, you know, area. I'm in this little town called Elizabeth, and there was rumored to be a little car meet at the local grocery store / single stoplight in this town. And this is just a matter of a couple weeks ago, and it went from, hey, you showing up, to, man, you couldn't get into the place at, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours before. Like, I'll tell you, there is such an emphasis on the energy, expectation, the swell, the build. Everybody is ready to let go. And I mean car shows. I mean seeing cool things. I mean getting out on the road, being with friends, family. They're ready for it, man.
That's awesome, because that's where I'm at. That's where my head is, man. I am ready to go, go, go. I got my first shot. My second shot's lined up here. A couple days. It's go time, man. I think everybody's in that same mode. Just, you know, knock this COVID thing down. Get up, you know, get that big chunk behind us and just go let it rip, you know?
Yeah, man. And look, one of our guests, which is really cool today, is you got to appreciate a guy who spends his time in what's called a car museum. Now, that's a luxury most of us only dream about. You know, we all saw the show, you know, Night at the Museum. Oh, my God. And these things can come alive. Like, if these cars could tell stories, if they could, you know, somehow communicate their adventures and where they've traveled and been through and who's ridden in them and who's driven them and, you know, the stories they could tell. But my God, a car museum would be like the ultimate gig for a car guy.
Wow, man. And this isn't just a museum. It's a 90-acre complex, man. So, you know, we talked about getting out there, going to car shows. That's what this is. This is like a destination spot. So it's one of the top ones on my list for this summer, man. I can't wait because of all the things that got going on. You know, we'll dive into it because it's pretty cool. But yeah, it's just this whole vibe of, you know, what's your kind of go-to list? You know, I'm sure everybody's already starting to think about, you know, spring, summer's coming. What am I going to do? You know, am I going,
oh man,
you know, how many car shows can I hit? You know, what are the big ones? Am I going camping? Am I going dirt bike riding? All the things that are fun about summer, and this place is kind of right up there with a go-to spot to hit.
Yeah, man. Well, when you say 90 acres of a car museum, that's ridiculous for most people. 90 acres? They can't even imagine 1 acre, let alone 90. Like, imagine all the cars you put on 1 acre. 90 acres of a car compound. And it's got everything you could ever imagine. So I'm anxious. We're going to talk with the man that is actually responsible for, you know, things that go on there, all that inventory. I don't know that that's an onus I would want on my shoulders. You know, that you're responsible for all this inventory.
90 acres worth of responsibility is quite a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So he is the executive director of all this stuff. And it's, again, it's not just museum. It's not just, you know, 400 plus cars and motorcycles.
It's right? Funnel cakes.
Yeah, it's funnel cakes. It's the diner, right? It's the old gas station. It's all the muscle car rides that you can go on. It's all the interactive stuff for the kid. Like, it's all those things, you know? Like, whew, yeah. That's quite a job. I'm glad he's got it, because this man is all about cars.
Hey, think about, you know, if you're listening, think about a car museum. Think about where you go in your respective town that, you know, you got friends, you got cool people you may know, or, you know, places you can go where you see a bunch of cars, right? Or somebody's got an awesome ass-kicking collection. Now, think about, you know, how proud and cool it is to be in that sort of location. Now, multiply it times a few hundred. And the man behind one of the coolest collections and all about that collection, coming up next on the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. We're back in just a minute. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. Hey, I tell you, Bird, I know you've been, you know, you've had an odd sort of couple seasons here. Now, you know, kind of skipping up north to spend the winter in Florida. It's not your normal grind and work on cars scenario. So have you had the luxury of ordering anything from CarParts.com yet? Because I say it's a luxury because it's stupid easy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, only through, you know, the TV show, through our shop. Because, yeah, I am completely displaced from all my tools except for some little handy thing I keep in my truck. You know?
Right, right.
The little mini box. So
Yeah, man.
We're crashing at the in-laws' house. It's been awesome all winter, except my itch is so itchy. I got to scratch it, man. That's normally what I'm doing all winter in Michigan, is firing up the heater in the garage. And it's just, that's for me, that's go time. I get 5 months worth of work done, you know, and I could care less if it's snowing outside because it's toasty in there and I'm grinding, you know?
Hey, I feel your pain. I've been displaced because of the fire, so
yeah.
I have to schedule my time in my own shop. But I tell you, CarParts.com makes getting all those parts just really reliable, really easy. You select the part, which is so much better than the guy behind the counter who's texting his girlfriend, you know, because they disagreed on where to go to dinner at. You know, I'm telling you, it's easy. It's simple. Just make it happen for you, and you'll see CarParts.com. Look, if you guys don't know car museums, you're about to get a whole full-on lesson. Grab some number two lead pencils, a whole legal pad of paper, start taking some notes because we got one of the coolest, baddest, most unbelievable museums, car compounds you could ever, and the man behind it. Kevin, why don't you give this man a formal introduction?
Yes, sir. Man, I've known this guy for a long time. He's been in automotive circles you wouldn't believe, and he has settled in recently here at the Gilmore Museum. It's Josh Russell, man. He is the executive director. He's the guy that runs all this stuff. And man, I can't wait to, you know, one, catch up with him, but two, get some more skinny, share it with all the listeners here, and then get my butt over there to check it out and have some good time. So Josh, welcome to the podcast, man. Glad to have you on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Great to be with you guys, and I can't wait to get you out here to the Gilmore Car Museum. You're gonna be blown away. It's an amazing place. It's been here since 1966, but the amount of expansion that's happened just in the last like 10, 12 years, it's staggering. There's really an amazing collection here.
I got a question for you, right? Because, you know, we've talked with so many different people in the automotive scene during COVID, and from a parts perspective, most, if not all, have just been blown out of the water with, you know, trying to get parts out the door, huge sales, but you are a destination, right? You're a place where, you know, if you go indoors, right, you are indoors. So, you know, how's it been through this part of the year? And then are you ready? Are you ready for the chaos, the wildness, the, like, the number of people that are going to flood your facility here coming up in just weeks?
Yeah, I think we are. The great, we really are, and we're excited about it because we're car people. We're enthusiasts, we're hot rodders, we're collectors. Everybody here, just, there's so much pent up demand. Like, we are all excited.
Amen.
To get our cars out to drive, you know, and while we have an incredible indoor, you know, museum here with all the galleries of cars inside, this place really comes to life all summer long with different car shows every single weekend. And then starting in May through September, every Wednesday night, there's a cruise in that brings in about 500 cars to 1,000 people with live music and a bar, and the diner's open. And it's just everything. It's like a car show outside in the grounds and the lawns, and then amazing world-class collections and galleries indoors. So we've been waiting for everything to open up enough so folks can come on out. And yeah, last year was a down year in terms of attendance just with the pandemic and everything we went through. The museum was shut down for 3 months, but what was great is we found a way to stay open, still have events, have smaller scale capacity restricted shows, capacity limited shows, but we still were open and remain open. The museum's only closed like 4 days a year.
Hey man, I imagine it's gonna be like, remember the days we used to have to camp out for concert tickets? Like we had to camp out across the street, and you know, at 6 in the morning, they'd be like, "All right, ready, everybody, get set, and go!" And everybody just runs across the street, like, you know, out of control to the ticket line. Whoever's first gets best tickets. Like, I imagine it's going to be like that, you know? All right, full capacity, ready to rock. Doors open at 8 a.m. See you on Saturday. Crack. And it's packed. People are loving it, sniffing on the cars, licking the cars, doing everything you do at a car show. Wait, you don't do that?
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I do know, I mean, you guys know, people come early to the car shows, right? So they line up, whether it's the cruise-ins or the car shows, they're coming early, and there are hundreds of cars lined up before the gates even open. But the good news about the Gilmore Museum, believe it or not, is because we have this beautiful 90-acre campus in the countryside in Michigan, we have as many as 100 outdoor camping spaces here too, rustic outdoor camping spaces. So if you really wanted to come early and set up and camp and hang out the night before, you can certainly do that.
Yeah, giddy up. Awesome. How many car shows you been that have campsites?
Actually, a few of them, man. But, you know, it's really dependent on the kind of camping you're referring to, you know? It camping yourself is kind of weird. You're spending a lot of money to live like a homeless person for a couple nights. It's weird. But let me ask you, Josh, if you had to pick one car, all right, I'm just going to cut to it. You're on a campus full of cars. You have vintage, you have classic, you have muscle cars, you have a crazy Corvette collection, you have all these cars. What's your favorite one? If you could only save one, what car would it be, Josh?
So the easy answer would be my own 64 Oldsmobile Dynamic 88 mild custom, just because I've had that car for 22 years. I had
selfish.
It put seatbelts in it so that my daughter at 19 could, she's now 19, but when she was a baby, so she could ride with it. It's just part of me, part of the family at this point. But if it was something that I'd like to add to the collection,
now we're talking.
It would really be a 36 Ford Coupe, really. I mean, it's got the nice combination of style. It's even in stock trim, they're like amazing. But if it's a 36 Ford custom, just the lines on it, that'd be the car for me.
Okay.
What's the setup on it? What's the setup? Is it stocker? Right. Has it got a flathead in it? Is it chopped? I mean, what's the skinny?
It would be custom. It probably wouldn't be a flathead. I'd probably go to a Ford engine, but something a little bit more modern and probably an overdrive transmission to be able to cruise in it. But maybe even Westergaard style type grill and full on custom slam to the ground skirts and black. And it's got to be black. So
that's on
the someday list, right? I got a few other projects and.
Yeah, this guy's got some interesting ones. He's got a 63 Shasta camper.
Yep.
Yeah, retro. Yeah. Cool little boxes, man. Yeah, fun box.
Yep.
Does it have the wings on it?
It does. Yep.
Wait, Shasta camper. What?
Yep. 63.
You got some explaining to do. Isn't Shasta a soda?
that too.
It is, but it's also a big camper brand, and I'm actually going to bring it out. We have on May 15th, we've got a vintage travel trailer rally here at the museum. So, you know, Airstreams, Shastas, Cerro, Scotties, all those kind of things. You guys know, I mean, if you're a car person, odds are you might have problems with other vintage things too, right? Like travel trailers and boats. And
I like everything like vintagey, man. Yeah, I love the old boat shows. I love like the camper show. Sounds awesome. Some of those Airstreams are just killer, you know?
Does it have ducks or wheat ingrained somewhere in the sofas, the carpet, or the wood paneling trim?
Nothing like that in mine. But again, I had to gut mine. It was pretty rough when I got it. So it's pretty pretty Spartan interior in that one.
Okay. All right. You know, you do see a lot of the campers flipping the script a little bit. A lot of people are taking the campers and restoring them. Right, make it a little, you know, bougie. It's really amazing what those things bring money wise.
Oh, yeah.
It's nuts what you can get for a decently restored camper nowadays. It's nuts.
Yeah.
But people, like you said, are itching to get out, and that's a cool way for them to do it.
Well, talk about some of the other like events that are coming up. You know, if I skim through your website, you know, you've got like the Ride the Classics, so people can actually get in some of these cars and get rides around, or how does that one work?
It's 3 days a week right now, but come the summer months, it'll be every day. And there's a different car every hour on the hour that our visitors to the museum can ride around in. So whether it's, right now it's convertibles with what's going on, the pandemic, we're using all open air cars. So, ride around in a 63 Cadillac convertible, a 61 Lincoln. We've got an old London taxi cab. We've got Model T depot hack. Again, it's like you can come and ride and have that experience, because you know, it's more, it's great to see everything indoors and on display, but it's totally different when you can hear the cars run, smell them run, actually sit and have that experience. And we've got 3 miles worth of road inside the museum campus, so we can take folks on a ride around and have them check everything out.
That's not only good for you guys and the people showing up, it's good for the cars.
It is.
The worst thing, the biggest car killer, is just to let it sit. You know, guilty as charged, I don't get my cars out. You know, I've got too many over the years. I don't get them out as much as I should. But, man, nothing hurts a car more than to just let it sit there, you know? Keeping it oiled up, keeping it, you know, the oil in places it needs to be, getting it up to temperature, getting all the fluid circulated, you know, everything lubed up as it should be. It just keeps cars tight. I'm sure the cars appreciate it too, because there's looks to be a few hundred cars there. How many cars do you have in total there?
Yeah, it's more than 350 cars, I think, that are on display, and another 50 or so motorcycles. But we also have storage barns that have other cars that aren't necessarily on display at that given time, because exhibits rotate in and out, or we get new cars in on loan or send some back to our owners.
That's just greedy, man. That's greedy when you're rotating cars in and out of rotation. When you have some that not even getting looked at, that's over in the ugly barn until it's time to bring them back in. This is greedy.
Wait. This is coming from a guy who's got like 38 cars or something, man. You know, talk about greedy.
All right, look, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Josh. More on the Gilmore Car Museum. Go Google it. Go check it out. It's an unbelievable facility, and they have something really special there. An unbelievable display of Corvettes. We're talking about that next. It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. Uh-huh. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. We're back after the break. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. Easiest, smartest, and probably nowadays the quickest way to get parts dropped to your back door. I know when I go to parts store, they're all like, well, I can get it from the warehouse. It'd be here on Tuesday.
Yeah, why don't I just get it directly to me? Yeah. Skip the U part, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So we have our boy Josh on from the Gilmore Car Museum. If you were, if you've ever Googled that, you've seen it, you're aware of it, you know it's a 90-acre car campus. It's got everything from, you know, like we learned in the last segment, 3 miles of pavement, which, you know, if it was just me and Kevin running that place, that would absolutely be a racetrack at some point.
Oh, man, that was going to beat you to it, yeah.
I don't care if it was in golf carts or grocery carts. It would be a racetrack.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at all these rides, all these, you know, adventures that you provide people that show up there and tour the place. I'm certain a lot of the kids and a lot of the guys probably come through there and see these cars and get really wide-eyed and, you know, kind of ooh and ah. But the Corvette exhibit has got to be one of the favorites. It's got to be one of the, you know, the classics that a lot of people want to see. Tell me how that came about, how it evolved, and what all that entails.
Yeah, it's the Corvette exhibit is actually new, just opened up. It's going to be here for the next year in the main gallery of the Gilmore Museum. Each year we feature, you know, a different exhibit. So it had been Packards, and had Packards all throughout its run and history, and it was a spectacular display. But this one's really special. It was co-curated by Werner Meyer, who's one of the biggest Corvette experts and restorers in the world. He worked with our curator, Jay, and put together a spectacular Corvette exhibit that's every generation of Corvette from C1 to C8. So it starts with the 1953. We have the number 26 Corvette ever built. And all the way on up to a new mid-engine C8. So, and all kinds of cool ones in between, like a C5 test mule that's here on loan. We've got Joey Chitwood's thrill shows in the 1950s. We've got one of the Corvettes that was used that jumped all kinds of crazy stuff for thrilled spectators across the country in his thrill show. So it's just a really neat display and kind of shows you special models or special examples from each generation.
What would you say is a fan favorite? Knowing everybody that comes in, and you know, we should ask you this about a few cars. What do you see as the fan's favorite? Obviously, talking to Kevin or me or, you know, other car guys, we're kind of locked in to some brand loyalty and our favorite, you know, year or whatever. But what do you see as a fan favorite, you know, as the director of this facility?
Man, making the decision on Corvettes specifically, I think that I think it's some of the uniqueness of a couple of them. I mean, one of them is a bubble top car that was a show car. So you don't see a roadster with a bubble top on it. That's more like 60s style show car type stuff and you know, came into hot rods later on. So it's neat to see that. We've actually got the Nomad concept you know, those were from Motorama, GM's Motorama, like in 1953, 1954. So to see a couple of those cars that, you know, never actually materialized into production or evolved from a Corvette concept to something else entirely is neat to see. But I love the split windows, and especially, you know, with kids coming in, the C8 is just getting a lot of attention right now.
Man, as it should.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Wow. Have you gotten to drive one yet?
No, I haven't. I'm looking forward to it. I hope to. You got one?
Oh, man. I'd love to have one. We had one on the show earlier this season and got to do a lot of work on it, you know, lowered the front end and, you know, did some exhaust and stuff in the back, headers and the whole bit. And man, what an awesome machine.
There was one out here last week. We were shooting some video and some photos outside, and some fellas drove one up from Indiana, and I was half tempted to ask for a ride, but I didn't. But we have our Corvette Envy annual show coming up on July 18th. So I'm hoping maybe I'll be able to con somebody into giving me a ride or letting me drive it. That would be terrific.
You can send that Envy my direction, Josh, because I got some seat time and a track on one. And let me tell you, that is the most vicious, nastiest 470 whatever horsepower car I've ever driven in my life. That thing is way faster than those numbers would tell you. Like that car is nasty with a side of steak, man. It's that car's wicked.
Well, it's cool to see the whole lineup from the first C1, right? And you see the evolution, you see all the little interesting turns and twists, you know, the different modifications on some of these, and to see it all the way up to progression of, you know, the current and the C8. What a cool ride that is, right? And it's cool to see that on some of the other vehicles as well. Now, you guys have a Mustang show coming up real quick, right? So Ford and Mustangs, yep. And you even got vintage motorcycle show coming up.
Oh, we got to talk about Mustangs? Nah, we don't have to talk
about
Mustangs.
That's why I went right to motorcycles. You know, I knew we would get some guff from your side over there, so I went right on.
let the folks
pick it up that want to pick it up, you know?
That's right. That's right. We need to give that one especially is going to feature Fox body Mustangs. It's open to all eras of Mustangs, but it's given some love to the 80s and 90s Fox bodies. I still drive my 93 and put snow tires on it and drive it in the winter here in Michigan. It's my commuter car to the museum. So we're going to give the Fox bodies some love, but you're right. I mean, it goes on from Mustangs to motorcycles to micro and mini cars to air cooled all the way on to like pre-42 stuff and German cars and British cars. I mean, you keep going through, and every different weekend there's a celebration of something different out here.
I like this one here. Oldsmobiles and orphans. For just the, where do we put this vehicle?
Yeah. Sorry they stopped making your car. It's welcome right, to right. the show, right?
They even have a German auto fest.
So, you know, we did let you sort of elaborate a little bit more. Outside the Corvettes, what is, in your opinion, some of the fans' favorites? In the muscle car world, in the early street rod, or, you know, Tri-5 era, or the, you know, like you were talking to 36 Ford, what do you believe are some of the fans' favorites? What do they always kind of get gooey on?
Wow, that's a really tough one here at the museum, just talking about our guests that come through and what I hear and from folks that I talk to. Because ours is organized into different galleries and different partner museums. So again, we're going to have, we got a 20s and 30s gallery that's got right now, you know, incredible Duesenbergs and a whole row of 1934 Auburns that like will make your jaw drop. And then you go on to the 50s and 60s gallery and you have the most incredible 50s and 60s cars you could imagine. And even like a, you know, one of the Chrysler turbine cars in there. You've got the muscle car gallery right next to it. And so you've got just the absolute craziest Yanko arrows.
Then let me rephrase the question in the form of silence. No, I'm just kidding. What is, in your opinion, knowing all these eras of cars, what do you believe is the greatest 10-year span of cars where they incorporated their technology at the time? Like, obviously, you know, you look at the C8, the technology for today is massive in that car. But you look at the, you know, 1953 Corvette, you'd have to say that for technology, right, that was a very innovative car in its time. Is the 20s era something extraordinary to look at and to be like, wow, fascinating what their interpretation was? Or is it more 60s, 70s?
Wow. For performance and everything else, in terms of what happened with cars in the 60s, it's hard to not think about the explosion that happened there. But for me, when I look at the late 20s and early 30s cars, the idea that we went from things that really were, you know, glorified carriages or horseless carriages in the teens. And we've got a lot of brass era cars here in the museum, of the Horseless Carriage Museum here at the Gilmore. You see those, and then you actually sit in or ride in a 1930s car. In that era from the 20s and the 30s, they actually very quickly became like the cars we still know and drive and appreciate today, right? It was a totally different experience.
Yeah, big adaptation over a period of short years, yeah.
Yeah, a whole different experience, right? Whole different mindset on what is going to move you, you know? I'd say almost every era was kind of on its game, except for maybe the 70s and 80s. You know, that was like, if we could have skipped 25 years of cars, we wouldn't miss much, you know?
No. Yeah. All right, man. So tell us a little bit more of, you know, the events, the hours, you know, people planning. Obviously, something like this, I feel like, is a multiple day type thing. So how do people get kind of plugged in to events, to things that you guys have going on this summer? Because I'm sure that energy that, you know, everybody feels being a car guy is ready to, you know, start planning, start putting things in place. So roll us out. How do people find that schedule?
Yeah, please visit GilmoreCarMuseum.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Gilmore Car Museum, or Instagram. But the whole schedule is on the website. The show schedule for the entire season, that's car shows, that's boat shows, travel trailer, motorcycle, corks and crafts, beer and wine, all the way on to, we're planning to announce shortly, an eight concert summer outdoor concert series schedule too. So all that's available on the website to check out, and the museum's open throughout the summer months every day from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So it'd be great to have some folks come out.
So what's kind of like a don't miss, you know, like if I scan through, you know, like I'm seeing the Model T drive experience, like you get to learn how to drive a Model T. I mean, I've driven one. They're so backwards on how they drive. You know, to me, that's like, man, if you've never driven one of those and you have the opportunity, take it. Now, are there other kind of things like that that you would say don't miss? You know, sign up for whatever cool show, cool event. But while you're there, you know,
hey, Kevin, you imagine the culture shock Kevin just threw at millennials? I mean, I just want to point out, like, right now, you know, I grew up in an era where a car had two sets of keys. A lot of people nowadays would never know what that other key would be for, you know? But dropping them all the way back where you had to get out and crank the engine or something, or a Model T where they had to push, pull, kick, and yell funny things, you know, and you'd have to light the lights on it with a, you know.
You gotta adjust your own spark, you know? Like,
woo, they'd be lost. Wow.
Yeah, I would, to answer that question originally, I would say just, even with your first visit, just give yourself enough time. I think that's what people don't understand when you're talking about going through. Again, we've got 7 partner museums on the campus. We've got, you know, a 1928 Ford dealership that houses the Model A Museum, a 1948 Cadillac dealership that houses the Cadillac LaSalle Museum. We've got these giant early 1900s, late 1800s red barns that are full of 2 different floors of cars. You got to give yourself enough time to get through and see just about everything here, and then identify, you know, what it is that you want to come back and spend a lot of time with or spend a lot of time doing. signing up for the Model T driving experience, coming out for one of the shows, or planning a visit on a Wednesday so you can see the museum during the day and then hang out for the cruise in with a few hundred other cars that night.
That's some good advice, man. That's some good advice.
Hey, I got to ask before we go, last question for me. What's the coolest muscle car era Mopar you have on premise?
Ooh, there's a 70 Challenger RT426 Hemi, which is pretty rockin', and there are a few others as well. So there's some really nice pieces here.
They got Mopars at the Red Barns on July 24th, man.
That's
there
right.
You go, man.
Mopars at the Red Barns. It'll be a big show. It's a big show out here. So yeah, Mopar fans should think about making the trip for sure.
Amen. Now, where do people find you on social media?
Yeah, Facebook, Gilmore Car Museum, Instagram as well, and then just GilmoreCarMuseum.org is the website. And we're, halfway between Chicago and Detroit, just like 15, 20 minutes off of Interstate 94 near Kalamazoo. So that's how you'd come find us.
Willie, you got to come out, man. I know he'd let you stay in that Shasta, you know?
That's right.
Hey, I'm down. Hey, don't act surprised when I show up with a backpack. Couple kids. All right, Josh, thanks, man. Hey, don't forget about our show, Air Weekends on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. Episodes also now streaming on Motor Trend On Demand. Thanks to our guest, Mr. Josh Russell. Find him at GilmoreCarMuseum.org. My man, Kevin Bird, I am Willie B, our producer, Scoop, and executive producer, Bob Ecker.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out our website, twoguysgarage.com. Tons of great content on there, man. And don't forget to share on social. We're everywhere: Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Guys Garage. Now, the Two Guys Garage podcast, it's a copyright 2021 Britton Productions Incorporated. All rights reserved.
I just hope that Shasta got a shower.
Oh man, if not, they got a garden hose. They got a garden hose, I'm sure.
I'm all right with that. All right, you guys, we'll catch you on the next Two Guys Garage podcast. Y'all take care.
Hey, we'll see you out there this summer, man. I can't wait. Take care.
Two Guys Garage Podcast is a production of Britton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.